Thanksgiving is coming. Are you planning to spend the holiday with your family? But you are apprehensive about this engagement because you don't feel like you have anything in common with them. You don't know the names of any of the football players on the football team that they like to root for. And you have nothing exciting and new to say about the weather. But most importantly, this year is an election year, and everyone is certainly going to want to talk about how proud they are that they voted. But you didn't vote, so what will you do when the conversation turns to voting? And you are embarrassed to admit that you didn't run down to the town hall to check boxes next to the names of complete strangers who don't care about you like they all did. Don't worry. This year you can tell them that you did vote, because this year you can vote for School Socks Podcast in the 2010 Podcast Awards. Tell your family that this is how you chose to vote this year. Then, in the middle of Thanksgiving dinner, hold up your hands for everyone to see and say, "Look, no blood." Thank you, and happy holidays.
Disclaimer. Do not actually do this at the Thanksgiving dinner table in front of your family. It is not productive. If you fantasize about doing such things, it might be best to make other Thanksgiving plans. Please visit podcastawards.com to nominate School Sucks Podcast in the Education and Best Produced categories. Thank you.
Hello, everybody. Today is November 13th, 2010. Welcome back to School Sucks Podcast. Today's show, just a little snip, something that I actually cut out of my recent discussion with the former teacher Rich, who left government school after tolerating it earlier this year for just 4 weeks. The last show had a focus on economics, and this was in the second half of our discussion. It wasn't really related to everything else we were talking about, so I cut it out, and that's what you're going to hear today. I thought it was worth hearing. And as far as these podcast awards are concerned, I would really like to win one of those this year. I like awards. I like accolades. You know, I remember in elementary school, we used to have these assemblies, and the first one I was ever at, it was 1984, and I got an award, a certificate, for good citizenship. Man, what a feeling. And ever since then, I just crave awards and recognition. Punish me with awards and rewards. That's what I say. So, as far as the podcast awards are concerned, I'm really looking at two categories, either education or best produced. The reason why I would lean towards the best produced category is because I recently had a discussion with Stefan Molyneux of Free Domain Radio about the podcast awards, and he puts Free Domain in the education category. I would be more than happy to step out of that man's way, since I'm sure I'm not the only person who is involved in this show or listens to this show that considers Free Domain Radio to be a huge part of their actual education. And Steph told me that the award always goes to Grammar Girl anyway. So wouldn't it be nice to give her her comeuppance, though, Grammar Girl? Actually, grammar is really important. So good luck, Grammar Girl. The best produced category, I don't know how realistic that is, but I've been really working hard lately to do thoroughly produced, really sharp shows. So I don't know. Maybe we have a chance there. And if I may make a couple other suggestions for other categories, because you'll see the form has all these different categories you can vote for shows in. Political, Free Talk Live, Liberty Conspiracy, something like that. I really hope that one of those shows can win so that award doesn't go to something like the Young Turks or Rush Limbaugh or Glenn Beck or Bill Maher or anybody else who podcasts what they do. Those people, oh. And there are some other categories as well. There's a comedy category. Maybe that would be a good spot for Wheels Off Liberty. I don't know. And the mature category could possibly, maybe you could put in Stephanie and Mike's show, Pork Therapy, the show about relationships, which just does have some mature themes, so it might fit there. And of course, there's also a food category, which might be a nice spot for Wes Bertrand and Kevin Koskela's show, Healthy Mind, Fit Body, which focuses mainly on nutrition. So there are some suggestions for the 2010 Podcast Awards. Be sure to nominate School Sucks Podcast while you're there. That is greatly appreciated. And as far as this show is concerned, I'm trying to line up some interviews, and I just put this little installment in to hold us over until I can get those all set. So that's that, and thank you for listening. Have a great weekend.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of schools, I mean, if you uncover a can of worms, and it's all about, you know, appearances, and let's say, you know, a teacher did uncover the abuse there at home, well, you know, that could be some bad press for the school, couldn't it? You know, where, I mean, what matters more than anything else for these schools is that they have bodies in the seats.
Oh, yeah,
and,
yeah.
If their funding depends on enrollment, well, you don't want to upset any parents because you just, I mean, the funding depends on how many, you know, bodies are in this, are in there. So you want to kind of, you know, because, you know, if it does come out that there's something not right happening at the home, and it's even hinted at that it's not, you know, that it's something besides the kid that could explain what's going on, then no parent wants to face that. And so you'll come up with solutions like giving a medication or something like that, or you know, there's going to be some detention. There'll be some solution away from what really is the source of the problem.
Right. Anything but the real problem.
Anything but the real problem. So if a kid's acting out, well, he needs medication. If a kid's acting out, it's because he's, you know, he discovered girls or something like that.
Right.
It's nothing. It's not, has nothing to do with how he's being, you know, what's happening at home. So we come up with simple solutions to real complex problems, and then the problems continue. And that's where it comes to the point where, you know, do I want to be in a situation where I'm seeing kids learn the wrong thing? You know, that's hard. I mean, when you see, you know, when you see kids learning the wrong things and
destructive things. Yeah.
And destructive. Yeah.
You know, I've talked a lot on my show about how, and we've, you know, we've certainly touched on it here today about how the system is just so abusive to the kids. But from your point of view, even though you were only there in a limited time, and you mentioned this in the email, you also said that it's quite abusive towards teachers.
It really was because basically the situation makes it impossible for the kids to learn from their mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
And so the kids literally treat the teachers as if we're punching bags or tackling dummies.
Right.
I mean, there's this captive person, you know, who the kids don't believe can leave, who, even if the kid likes you, I mean, I had one kid who I know, this kid been a problem behavior-wise, but I, they have a form where I was actually sending him out of class, and it had copied over, the school had asked me for my bank information for the direct deposit, and I didn't know that I had written that on top of this form, which had a, so it had penetrated through the form. So this kid had my bank account number, and the kid turned it in. And this is a kid, you know, who has been a behavior problem, and he turned in the form that he could have basically robbed me blind. And this, so I know this kid had some respect for me, because if he didn't, he would have, I mean, he had a chance to really, and even that kid, because, you know, the fact that he did the right thing, and it would have been very easy for him to have, you know, taken my bank number once he had it and stolen from it.
So what you're saying is there's like a real big difference between, you know, in from his point of view, looking at you as this guy Rich and looking at you as this guy, the teacher, who has all of this arbitrary authority, supposedly, and forces me into this environment, just from what his experience with teachers has been. So when it comes to you, he makes the right choice. That's interesting.
Right. I think this kid liked me in the sense that when he really had a chance to really make my life miserable, you know, he did an honorable thing. But in class, he would act out and be very disruptive, you know, to the point where, you know, I couldn't teach because he was so disruptive, and it was ongoing. And I would talk to him about, you know, why he was doing that, and I would say to him, it seems like, you know, there's a power, like, when I tell you this, you tell me if I'm right or I'm wrong, but it makes it feel like we're getting in a power struggle here. Where if I tell you to do this, and you feel like I'm going to have power over you if you do it, and that you know, makes you feel powerless. Tell me if I'm right or I'm wrong. And that's how I would talk to him. But he was, where I'm going with that is, I know the kid had respect for me because he did the right thing when he had a chance to rob from me. But if you saw his behavior in class, you would think that, you know, it was because he was so disrespectful that he had no respect for me. But it was just his way of day in, day out, because there was real no consequence. If a kid gets suspended, that's a vacation.
Yeah, I just think, generally, Rich, that's a really, you know, it's a really powerful statement, even though, you know, none of us were there to witness any of this. It's a really powerful statement, just listening to you tell the story, about what that environment does to people, how we go from, you know, being such a problem when that whole milieu is imposed on him, to when he actually has to make a choice about whether or not to hurt you personally. It's like two different people. I think that's really important.
Exactly. And the kids, I started to notice where the kids are treating somebody like a doormat, and that person is going to sit there and tolerate it on a day in, day out basis. You know, I would talk to the kids and say, because I would have them write, you know, why am I acting this way? You know, how do I feel? And one kid would write, you know, I don't even know you, and I'm dissing you, and the kid, and I put it, that was very, you know, insightful in that, you know, you shouldn't disrespect somebody unless they first disrespected you.
Right.
And have I done anything to disrespect you? And the kid would say no. And so, but that's, you know, where it became abusive is you have to go in on a daily basis and tolerate kids just unloading on you. And then you're dealing, it seemed like the kids who acted out the most were getting the most attention. And I don't have a solution. I mean, when you're looking at some of these kids' eyes where their family life, their home life, their whole life is really, you know, feel so hopeless to them.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have an easy answer, but I was thinking, why is it they come to school? They don't want to open a book. They don't want to do any of the learning. And I thought, you know, part of it is that sense of power they get. Because when I talked to one kid and said, you know, why do you want to make the teachers upset? And he says, because I feel confident when I do that. Right. I said, well, how does that build confidence? And, you know, he couldn't really answer that, but it felt like, you know, these kids, if they can day out, you know, maybe if they're in an abusive situation at home where, you know, they can't get away from it, well, they like to, you know, force that on the teachers.
It's such a self-perpetuating problem, too, because you think about how many people get into education who are, you know, very similar to you, Rich. They're idealistic. They feel like they can make a difference. They have an approach that they think will be unique, that they think the kids will go for, and they find themselves as these punching bags, which I think is a great analogy of just how the kids, will deal with the environment. Well, what is that person's attitude towards the kids in general like after 5 years of that, after 10 years of that, after 15 years of that? Yeah.
Well, here's what they do, Brett. They try to survive. They ask as little as possible. They show movies. They have the kids. It becomes about just surviving. And, you know, you make it as easy on the kids as possible as far as asking as little as possible. And, I mean, as you were talking about one of your podcasts, how, you know, there was a younger, energetic teacher, and you're wondering, you know, what's he going to look like down the road?
Mm-hmm.
And we've all been in schools where they do turn into, you know, basically the system really takes a person who's idealistic, enthusiastic, and turns them into somebody who is just, you know, hanging in there from day to day just to, I guess, collect a paycheck.
Yeah, they're like the system itself personified.
Right.
Embodied right. In this just one miserable curmudgeon who hates kids.
Yeah, and that becomes that part. And I didn't, when I left, it wasn't the kids that I don't blame the kids. I understand why they're acting, but if a system makes it impossible for them to learn from their mistakes, if a system constantly mistreats them and tells them not to bully, but then turns around and bullies, you know, if a system just uses threats and bribes to get them to motivate them, then how else would the kids react? And then it's going to come out to the part where they're going to take it out on the adults. And if I stayed in that environment, I mean, you're talking about wearing a kick me sign all day long. And
yeah.
What does that do to me?